Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Luke. Locate Luke 21, the first four verses, Luke 21. May also help if you find this little piece of paper entitled, Like the Widow, Go All In, to take a few notes. I'm glad that God has wired us to laugh and to see the lighter side in this fallen world, to see something fun in this fallen place. I heard about this rich widow, and she visited for the first time a very small church in her area. She had virtually no church background, hadn't been to a church service since she was a little girl, and she wandered in to this church service, and she saw people, as they were passing the offering plate, put in money. So she reached in her purse, and her smallest was a $100 bill. So she just dropped in a $100 bill, and everybody kind of noticed, and even the pastor noticed. Well, after the offering was received, the pastor said, "We have a visitor among us today," and they only had one visitor, and said, "She has made a generous contribution, and because of that, ma'am, would you please select three hymns?" So she looked around, stood up, and said, "Well, yeah, I'll take him, and I'll take him, and that big fellow over there, I'll take him too." Well, today, we're not going to honor a rich lady who made a big gift. We're going to honor a poor widow that Jesus highlighted in Luke chapter 21. She gave an offering of only 2 cents, yet that offering became an illustration and an inspiration that has inspired millions of Christ followers to give billions of dollars over the decades. And so today, I want to learn from her lesson so that we can go all in, all in. You know, all in is a gambling term. Not that I know a ton about gambling, but I do watch ESPN occasionally. All in is when you think you got the win in hand, and you believe that you're going to win, so you take your entire amount, your total resource, and you push it into the pot. That's what all in is. Now, friends, when you follow Jesus, you do hold the win in hand, and you can afford to go all in for Jesus, because with Jesus, you're going to win. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's what I need to ask you for this message to have meaning. Are you, like this widow who went all in, are you a giver? Are you a giver? Now, let me confess, before I came to Christ, I was a selfish taker. And yet when Jesus invaded my life, when I chose to follow him as a young teenager in Texas, everything began to change. My vocabulary changed. I went from an oh hell vocabulary to an oh heaven vocabulary. My viewpoint began to change on myself, on other people. My values changed. Even my vocation changed. I was always going to be a lawyer. I thought it was about how much money you could put in the bank. And then I realized I wanted to invest in eternity. And so I wanted God to use what gifts he had given me to make an eternal difference. So everything changed. But in particular, I started to live a life of generosity. So are you a generous giver? For instance, when the waitress comes and she brings you food, do you give her a measly tip or do you bless her? Knowing that young lady probably doesn't want to be working there. And she has family responsibilities, and you could make a difference. When that young guy comes and delivers a pizza to your house, do you ever just give him a $20 bill and say, "Young man, thank you. I hope this will bless you." Is your default mode generosity? Have you ever been at a restaurant and you see somebody and you just buy them their meal? That's a great thing to do. That will bless you and bless them. They'll never forget it. I have this habit of being in a grocery store, and I'll try to see who's behind me. And if they don't have too much, you know, there's a limit. If they don't have alcohol, I'll buy their groceries. And one day I was in a big old store nearby, and the Lord just whispered to my heart. There was a little lady there, and she had 3 little children, and just need was written on her forehead. And she had only one item in her cart. She had a sewing machine. It was a little sewing machine. I think it was like, I happened to see $99. It wasn't something fancy, but just a sewing machine for her children. And the Lord just whispered to my heart, why don't you bless that lady? Because I saw she had a cash money. She had a $100 bill out and a tent. And I thought, you know, this would be a way I could bless them. And then I gave them, always when I give people something, I attach Jesus to it. So I gave her one of these tracts and a little cross, and just knowing in my heart that every time from that day forward she used that machine, she would trace it back to Jesus. So are you a giver? Do you give people your time, your talent, your treasure? Do you give people generously praise? Or instead, do you tend to be stingy? Do you tend to be selfish? I heard about a lady, she lived with a guy, he was so tight, he was so cheap, he was so selfish. She said on their 25th anniversary, honey, I sure would like some diamonds. He said, no problem. He reached out in his pocket and he said, here's a nine of diamonds and here's a queen of diamonds. Knock yourself out. So, you know, maybe you're that kind of person. You're a cheap person because Christ has not invaded your pocketbook. But more importantly, he's not invaded your heart and made you a person of generosity. Well, come with me to Luke 21, and let's see this inspiring illustration of a person who was a giver. A little lady, and I'm going to call her Rachel. Jesus looked up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow putting in two small copper coins. He said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all put in out of their surplus, they put into the offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, this is such an inspiring yet humbling picture of somebody who totally trusts you, completely loves you. They are all in for you. And Lord, I pray that you would use this message in these moments to motivate us to emulate your ultimate example of being a sacrificial giver. Lord, get me out of the way. And I pray that your Spirit would take your words, your transforming truth, and deposit them into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's transport ourselves back into that moment. It's Luke chapter 21. Jesus is nearing the cross. This is one of his final teaching times in the temple. There's a large crowd gathered, and Jesus pauses, and he begins to observe the people that are walking up to the offering box that is stationed strategically in the temple. This story is amplified in Mark chapter 12. Jesus, it literally says, is watching people as they give their offering. Now, there are a lot of ways to give an offering. In those days, it was just a box. In this congregation, we pass a plate. You can give online. You can text your tithe. I mean, there's a lot of ways to give, donate online or through a checking service. There's a lot of ways to give. But here's what I want you to understand. God is watching your gift. That's what the scripture says right here on your worksheet. In 2 Chronicles 16, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He observes what you give or don't give. It says in Proverbs 5, verse 21, that the ways of a man are always before the eyes of the Lord. He watches your path. So the Lord, he watches every offering. He watches my offering. One time I went to this church and I was preaching, and it was in a rural area, and it was really a neat church, and they came forward to give their gifts. They had this model church built, and they had a giving campaign, and it was an open box, and the people paraded forward, and they dropped their offering in the church. It was kind of impressive, but I felt so weird watching what people give or didn't give because some stayed back. The pastor actually looked down into the offering, and he said, we need to do this again, and he had them do it all again. It was really amazing. I was so impressed. I thought about doing it here, but I haven't summoned enough courage. So here, people sometimes observe how others give, but God always does. He knows exactly what we give, and more importantly, he knows why we give it. But friend, here's the point. The point is not what you give, it's why you give it. You see, does God need our money? Of course he does not. We learn in Psalm 50, verse 10, that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If the Lord had a need, he'd just sell a couple of cows. He'd meet that need. God doesn't need our money. He wants our heart. Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 6 that your treasure follows your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Jesus said. So the Lord doesn't want your money. He wants your heart, and your giving reflects your priorities. It reflects your heart values. When I came to the Lord, I brought my heart, and I brought my checkbook, and I brought my calendar. I brought my talents, and I brought my time. You see, that's what the Lord, he wants all of us. Your giving is an expression, ultimately, of your love for the Lord. I heard a saying many years ago that's always stuck with me. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you really love somebody, you just got to give to them. And if you have a deep, heartfelt love for Christ, you must give to him. Number two, please observe number two. Jesus knows your tough circumstances. Jesus knows your tough circumstances. You see, Jesus was watching that little lady as she came to the offering plate. And I would imagine it was quite a moment. Inject yourself into that moment with your imagination. And Jesus has paused, and here comes this little lady up. Let's call her Rachel. And this is a moment when other people have been parading up, and it's a moment of show-off religion. And I can just see Jesus poking Peter in the ribs and saying, Peter, hey, Rocky, did you see that? That's the most extravagant gift I've ever seen at this temple. And Peter said, do you mean Reuben Rich Guy? I saw Reuben Rich Guy. He just dropped in a pound of gold into the offering. Jesus said, nah, Reuben Rich Guy is not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about that little widow. Did you see she dropped in 2 copper coins, and it's all that she had? Oh, in that moment, Jesus is identifying several truths about himself. You see, he knew that this woman was a widow. He knew that she lived in poverty. And he knew that she had given all. Now, how did he know that? Was he a Sherlock Holmes-like detective? No, he was divine. It's the same ability that he summoned in John chapter 4 when the woman came to the well. And that woman came to the well to draw water, but Jesus wanted to give her living water. So he engaged her in a conversation, and he revealed that he knew all the details about her private life. Do you remember he asked her a question? He said in John 4, he said, are you married? And she said, well, you know, not right now. And he said, you've had 5 husbands, and you're living with a guy right now. And she says in John 4:19, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Yeah, Jesus had read her mail. He knew everything about her, and he loved her anyway. She goes and tells the people in her village in John 4, verse 29, he said, come meet the man who told me everything about myself. You see, that's what Jesus is able to do. He knows everything about us. He knew everything about that widow. He knew of her poverty. He knew of her struggle. And he did not abort her gift. He affirmed her gift. Now, that's interesting. He could have said, wait a minute, honey. Little Rachel, you don't have any money. Don't put in all that you've got. As a matter of fact, let me have those 2 copper pennies, and I'm going to transform them into gold. And here, go buy yourself some fatted calf. Have some fatted calf for supper. Did he do that? No. He affirmed her desire to go all in. He affirmed her desire to give everything she had to the Lord. Now, friend, maybe right now you are in a tough spot. Maybe you've heard a bad medical report or had a financial failure. Or maybe there's an important relationship in your world and it has ruptured and you are aching with pain right now as you sit here. The Lord knows that you're going through a tough time. The Bible tells us, and please refer to your worksheet, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is aware of your problem and your pain, but he's also aware of your possibilities. And here's what he wants you to do. Pull in tight to him. Translate your pain into spiritual gain. You see, the Lord won't necessarily abort your problems. He didn't save Daniel from the lion's den. He saved him in the lion's den. That's how God works. So don't waste your pain. And number three, come with me. Jesus understands the act of sacrifice. You see, Jesus, he expressed love and appreciation for this lady because he was about to do the same thing. You see, in just a few days, Jesus was going to go all in. As he headed to the cross, he who knew no sin would become sin on our behalf so that we could be made right with God. That's what we learn in 2 Corinthians 5:21. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus would give himself because Jesus had already described his purpose in Mark 10:45. He said, I've not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus was going all in when he went to that cross. Jesus said, no greater love has any man than to give his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus was going to do. He was going to demonstrate his limitless love for us by giving himself on that cross and covering our sin problem. So he understands sacrifice, and I want us to understand what sacrifice is. Let me give you a definition. Sacrifice is giving up something of value for the sake of another. That's what sacrifice is. It's giving up something of value to you for the sake of another. There are three marks of sacrifice. Let's begin with the first one. A sacrifice is motivated by love. A sacrifice is motivated by love. You see, this widow gave all because she was totally in love with the Lord. Can't you just see her marching toward that offering box? And can't you just see her whispering, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you do for me. Lord, I love you. I want to give my all to you. And she didn't give it with a sense of hostility or obligation. She made that gift out of love. That's why Jesus commended her. He knew her heart of love and gratitude to the Lord. She didn't give that offering to the temple or to a priest. She gave that offering to her heavenly Father. So let me ask you this question. Why do you give? If you are a giver, what motivates you to have the default of giving to God's work and to God's children? Well, C.S. Lewis put it pretty well. C.S. Lewis said, the worst sin is to do the right thing for the wrong reason. So examine your heart. Those Pharisees were show-off givers. They gave to enhance their own image. They weren't giving a love gift to the Lord. They were trying to elevate their status in society. So why do you give? Why are you a person who gives? To impress others? No, it should be a love gift to the Lord. Again, that's what happened to me. When I gave my life to Christ as a young teenager, my family wasn't a Christ-oriented family. They weren't a giving family. We were into acquisition, actually. And as I came to the Lord, everything about me changed. And certainly my basic value system, I wanted to move from being selfish to being a servant, from being a taker to being a giver, because I realized all that the Lord had done for me. And I was captivated by his love, and I fell in love with Jesus, to put it simply, as a teenager. Let me give you my quintessential example of that when it comes to giving. A few years ago, we started to look at our church and realized that for 12 years we had been doing three services over in the old sanctuary. It's about a third of this size. And so we realized this growing family needed a bigger dining room table. If your family moved from 4 to 12, how would you still use a dining room table that only seated 4? So it just seemed logical that we needed to build a bigger sanctuary. And so we began this quest, and we started a faith commitment campaign where we invited people to give. Well, it was led by a guy in our church named Harold Cushing, just one of the all-stars of all times. And Harold told us about we ought to be giving out of love, and he invited us to make a faith commitment. So Mary Ruth and I prayed together, and we came up with what was a really big number for us. Wanted to lead the way. We believed in what we were doing. This was a love gift to the Lord. But then Harold kept talking to us. And some weeks went by, and the Lord was just whispering to my heart. He said, Jay, I gave my most, my highest, my all for you. Don't give a minimum gift to me. Give me your most. So Mary Ruth and I prayed again, and the Lord led us to triple that gift. That gift was way larger than our savings account. Now, I knew if everything went south and sour, I could always tap my kids' college fund. You know, college is overrated, I thought to myself. So they can get scholarships or something like that. I wasn't that all worried. Okay, so we went all in. That's what I'm saying. We went all in. We got out on the limb in the limbs where the fruit lives. Out on the far end of the limb, you're going to find some fruit. And this is amazing. To God's glory, just a few weeks after we turned in that pledge, some family land sold in Texas that we had no expectation of its sale. We hadn't sold any for decades. And an opportunity arose to sell some land, and my share on that sale was almost to the dollar what we pledged. It was slightly over. You know what that is? That's God showing up and showing off. That's that old cliche, you can't outgive God. Because in faith, with love, we said, Lord, we're all in. This is our sacrifice. We love you, and we're giving this for you. And God came through. So that's what I would have you understand. The Lord calls you to be a sacrificial giver because you are a sacrificial lover. And you've received what the Lord has done for you. But secondly, a sacrifice forces you to depend totally on God. That's what a sacrifice does. It was no doubt hard for Rachel to give her everything. She didn't have a husband who provided for her. There was no social security system or public safety nets. And she was forced to depend upon the Lord. But friend, I'm telling you, it's better to have a father who owns the bakery than a shelf full of bread. And Rachel knew that she had a father who would provide for her. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Notice on your outline, Philippians 4. Paul said, I am amply supplied now that I have received the gifts you sent. They are fragrant offerings, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, remember the context of where Paul is writing from. Is he writing from a palace? Is he at Club Med on the Mediterranean, just dangling his feet in the beautiful water? Hardly. He is in prison. And Paul has the audacity to be so all in for the Lord that he says, God, I believe you're going to supply all my needs because I'm all in. And I know you'll provide me the win. You see, that's the story of the scripture. God is always inviting his children to trust him, to love him in faith, to go all in. Isn't that what happened with Moses? God said, Moses, go set my people free. And Moses, after some protest, saying, God, I'm a fugitive in Egypt. If I go there, they will kill me. Moses finally said, God, I'm all in, and I believe that you'll help me win. Isn't that what happened with little David? God said, David, there's a giant named Goliath, and he is damaging my people. I want you to go slay him. And little David, in faith and love, said, oh, God, I'm all in, and I believe that you're going to help me win. Isn't that what happened with Daniel? God said, Daniel, I want you to stand against the tide of public opinion and the cultural correctness of your day, and I want you to defy the king and how you worship me. And Daniel said, God, I'm all in. And in the lion's den, God helped him win. You see, that's what happened with this little widow. She said, I'm all in, Lord. I don't have much, but everything I got, I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to trust you that you'll help me win if I go all in. Well, my friend, I don't know what you're facing today, but I want you to believe that if you're all in, God's going to take care of you. He'll help you win. When I was thinking of this, I thought of a wonderful lady named Martha Hawkins. Do you know Martha Hawkins? She's got a restaurant here in town, Martha's Table. She used to be our church cook, and for 5 years, she fed us royally. And we got to be big buddies. But Martha has quite a story. Martha was a single mom. She had 4 children. Her husband walked out. She got so low and so blue that she tried to take her life. And they committed her to a mental institution, Grill Hospital. And she has this amazing story that says she was so low and so blue that she was ready to give up. And then God spoke to her heart and said, Martha, you can do it. Just follow me. Trust me. Love me. You can do it. And she has this story where she literally took a Gideon's Bible out of the night table at Grill's Mental Hospital, and she set it down on the floor, and she stood on her Bible. And she said, oh, God, I have nothing but you. You see, when you come to the end of yourself, you come to the beginning of God. And she stood on that Bible, and she said, God, I'm all in. And you know what God did? He changed her heart. He changed her circumstance. Martha has been even acknowledged at the White House in Washington, D.C., as one of the people who've overcome mental illness and become an overcomer for Christ. Oh, my friend, the Lord wants to do that for you if you will totally depend upon Him. But lastly, a sacrifice means that you surrender all. You surrender all. And that's what happened when Rachel gave her all. The Lord Jesus honored her, and her example would promote millions to give billions because she went all in. Well, in just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn called I Surrender All. But before we do that, I want to give you another motivating story that I encountered recently. We've got a wonderful young man in our church named Carter Vance. And Carter came to me and he said, hey Jay, the Lord is calling me to go on a mission endeavor, and I need a pastoral reference. And so I said, well, Carter, I need to get to know you better and just tell me how God's been at work in your life. And he spun out this story that mesmerized me about how he went all in. And I said, Carter, would you write that up? As a matter of fact, Carter, stand up for a minute. He's right here. Carter Vance. All right, I'm going to read you his story. This is his letter to me. Thank you. Dear Pastor Jay, growing up in the church, I thought I had Christianity figured out at age 18. I would go to church on Sundays, praise God for an hour, read my Bible periodically, and try to treat people right. When I arrived at the University of Alabama, I took the same mentality with me, and my faith quickly crumbled. While I occasionally delved into God's Word, I started dabbling into things that proved to be very harmful. Soon I became engrossed in the typical college lifestyle, and I completely lost my will to seek the Christian life. Then during my second semester in Tuscaloosa, a mechanical bull shook my world. While riding this death machine, I was thrown off and badly whiplashed my neck and injured the nerves on the right side of my body. As a result of this injury, I could only speak above a whisper for many months. This was devastating because I'd always found my identity in my ability to connect with people. And overnight, that was taken away. Over the next year, I suffered an identity crisis. I lost my self-confidence, I lost my self-esteem, and I lost many fair-weather friends. I plunged into depression, fear, and anxiety. However, my entire life changed on a Wednesday night last March when I walked into Bruno Library in Tuscaloosa. I walked through the front doors and I saw a friend sitting at a table. I heard a faint whisper in my heart, which I now realized was the Holy Spirit, telling me to go sit by him. He told me that he was going to a discipleship school in June at Lake Martin called Legacy. As soon as I heard this, I knew in my heart that I needed to go to this school, even though I hadn't been to church or opened a Bible in many moons. When I left the library at midnight, I called up a friend who was also going through a tough season, and he asked me to pick him up at a bar, which I did. Within a few seconds, he completely broke down. He was crying torrents of tears and talking about how miserable his life was and how he had no hope in himself. By the time we reached his house, he begged me to stay with him because he was contemplating committing suicide. Not knowing what to do, I began to pray out loud for the first time in a long time, praying for God to give this guy peace and for Satan to leave him. As I prayed, I could tell that something was changing in him. He became calmer. Then he stopped crying. Then he started smiling, and with a look of pure joy coming across his face, I was astonished. I knew prayer was powerful, but I'd never seen anything like this happen before. Over the next 16 hours, I kept thinking about what God had done. It was obvious that God had performed a miracle right before my very eyes. While parked on Greensboro Avenue, overlooking the sunset coming down on the Black Warrior River, I made my decision. I told God that if He could save a hopeless young man from ending his life through the power of prayer, then I didn't want to live my life without Him anymore. So on Thursday, March 23rd, at 5:45 p.m., I gave my life totally up to Jesus Christ. I went all in. Since that turning point, nothing has been the same. My perspective on Christianity has completely changed. I now realize that living the Christian life is all about daily surrendering and sacrificing ourselves to the Lord in order that we might live in His Spirit as His loving servants. So take a leap of faith, my friends, and live free of the power of sin and live full of the power of Christ's love. Is that an amen? Amen. Good job, Carter. Thank you. So here is God's call. Like that widow and like Carter, go all in. Let's pray.
Father, thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.